Blog Talk Radio.
To present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. A great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro has still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. But we refuse to believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. And so we've come to cash this check.
Yes.
A check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must fail to conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protests to degenerate into physical violence. Again and again, we must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force. The marvelous new militancy which has engulfed the Negro community must not lead us to a distrust of all white people, for many of our white brothers, as evidenced by their presence here today, have come to realize that their destiny is bound to our freedom. We cannot walk alone. As we walk, we must make the pledge that we shall always march ahead. We cannot turn back. There are those who are asking the devotees of civil rights, when will you be satisfied? We can never be satisfied as long as the Negro is the victim of the unspeakable horrors of police brutality. We can never be satisfied. As long as our body is heavy with the fatigue of travel, cannot gain lodging in the motels of the highways and the hotels of the city. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote, and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing for which to vote. No, no, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. I am not unmindful that some of you have come here out of great trials and tribulations. Some of you have come fresh from narrow jail cells. Some of you have come from areas where your quest for freedom left you battered by the storms of persecution and staggered by the winds of police brutality. You have been the veterans of creative suffering. Continue to work with the faith that unearned suffering is redemptive. Go back to Mississippi. Go back to Alabama. Go back to South Carolina. Go back to Georgia. Go back to Louisiana. Go back to the slums and ghettos of our northern cities, knowing that somehow this situation can and will be changed. Let us not wallow in the valley of despair. I say to you today, my friend, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring. And when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
The I Have a Dream speech is a 17-minute public speech by Martin Luther King Jr. delivered on August 28, 1963, in which he called for racial equality and an end to discrimination. The speech from the steps of the Lincoln Memorial during the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom was a defining moment of the American Civil Rights Movement. Good morning, America. Thank you for joining me here today. My name is Carlos Antonio Montenegro, and I'm a licensed California bail agent living and working in the city of Los Angeles, and I'm also the chairman of the American Bail Agents Union. Today, I'd like you to join me on our show as we discuss the foundation of principles of workers' rights and the history of the American Bail Agents Union, why it was formed in 2016. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about my personal history, about where I come from, and why I have this burning motivation to assist the individuals working in the bail industry with equality, freedom, and what's just right. I also have this desire to help out the individuals that we service, the defendants who we bail out from jail. They also have rights. And if we're going to make this thing work, if bail is to survive into the future, during this historic time of California, as we move forward to redefine the California bail industry, it's important that we take into consideration all factors, not only the law and how do we comply with state and federal laws of discrimination, harassment in the workplace, but how do we also incorporate a respect for the individuals that we call defendants, that and those minority communities that we derive our money from. How do we approach this, and how do we integrate all of this into one? Ladies and gentlemen, the bail industry has written a bad check. A bad check, like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, with insufficient funds. So today, we're going to cash that check. And we're going to explore the union and the benefits for workers' rights, for yourselves, for your families, and for the community and everyone around us. This is Carlos Antonio Montenegro. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, America, to California Bail Reform 2018. This is Carlos Antonio Montenegro, and I'm a licensed California bail agent living and working in the city of Los Angeles, and I'm also the chairman of the American Bail Agents Union. Well, the labor history of the United States describes the history of organized labor, U.S. labor law, and more general history of working people in the United States. Beginning in the 1930s, unions became important components of the Democratic Party. However, some historians have not understood why no Labour Party emerged in the United States in contrast to Western Europe. The nature and power of organized labor is the outcome of historical tensions among counteracting forces involving workplace rights, wages, working hours, political expression, labor laws, and other working conditions. Organized unions and their umbrella labor federations, such as the AFL-CIO, and citywide federations have competed, evolved, merged, and split against a backdrop of changing values and priorities and periodic federal government intervention. Good morning again, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to talk with you this morning about the American Bail Agents Union that I founded in 2016. And the reason that I want to have this show, it's not one of our normal shows, which is airs out on Friday at 8 p.m. every Friday night, but I wanted to explore the reasons why, reasons for the season. Now, when I first got involved with the bail industry, I had never had an experience with it before. And let me tell you something, it's an experience I can't compare it really to anything. Although it's very, very intriguing, very interesting, it is still in its beginnings, even though we have many years here in the United States with the bail industry, and bail in itself is hundreds of years old. Well, my experience, I've worked at several companies, and my experience with some of the companies was not so organized or, I would say, state and federal law friendly. And from those experiences that you have, even though they might be negative, it's important that if you are going to come here to the bail industry, that you open your eyes, that we are still in an industry that, although regulated by California Department of Insurance, it's still not regulated as much as it should be by agencies that are other state agencies and federal agencies. And meaning that we as workers do have rights in the working field, but there seem to be a lot of crossing over the lines, let's just say, bashing of people of color, bashing people of gay and lesbian or bisexual or transgender community. There was lots of bashing against other individuals from different ethnicities, such as gypsies and other individuals that we as society, as old as the Bible, the profession of being accused of prostitution. That taboo, the scarlet letter, the S, the capital S, and in red, that one must wear on their shirt in our society if accused. And I had that experience of not only seeing it take place, but I also had the experience of being a victim of it also. I at first was very, very disappointed about what I saw. Owners of companies participating in, as well as in other agencies also. It was very, very sad, shocking, and startling, very hurtful, and really a part of the bail industry that's very, very shameful. Although this happened, I happen to be an individual that looks at things when it happens, it appears to be negative. There has to be something good that that comes from that negative experience. And we know also that negative experiences are important, even though we might not want to talk about it or experience them. Negative experiences are important in order for change to take place. Without chaos or conflict, there cannot be any change. Otherwise, everything would just stay the same. In that speech, the I Have a Dream speech by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he talked about equality. Now, although many people might see that speech as being definitely only for African Americans, that's wrong. That speech will always be an important part of the fabric of this country, America. And that speech, the factors or the concerns of that speech still ring true to this day and transcend all areas of racial differences, cultural, sexual orientation differences, even those people that are handicapped or mentally ill. It is a speech that gives protection, gives people a light of hope that somehow things are going to get better, and they will. During this historic time of the California bill reform, as we move forward in California with great debates of controversy of which group is right and which is wrong, we have the reformists on one hand, the orthodox reformists who are saying the bail industry needs to be eliminated just like that, because the individuals in the bail industry have been linked to lots of different scoundrel type of activities. I think that's a stereotype, and I think that's wrong. But I do think that there are examples, isolated incidents, where, and it's enough, isolated incidents, that we need to stand up and say enough is enough. So out of that backdrop of my experiences and my observation of different working at different places and seeing some of the areas which of concern that that really are a greater concern, I decided, and not being able to get help to be able to resolve it, I decided to form the American Bail Agents Union. And for many of you out there who do not know me, I'm a writer for over 25 years. I've written over 1,800 books, mainly about spirituality. By this year's close end, it will be up to 2,500 books. I'm always writing. Although many of them may not be published, they're written and are being written because it takes a lot of time to write to format a book. It takes a lot of time. So I've written many, many books, even for bail agents and law enforcement. So my interests are many, and my experiences I always like to share through my publications. And if you'd like to see some of my publications for the bail industry, you can go to www.AmericanBailAgentUnion.com. And if you'd like information about how you can join one of our meetings, which are being held here in Los Angeles, again, it's www.AmericanBailAgentsUnion.com. So many people out there, especially owners, when they hear of companies, they hear about a union, that just freaks everybody out. But let's look at the goal of a union. The goal of a union simply is a group of individuals who want to organize themselves in order to be heard, to resolve differences that that are illegal, maybe differences that they just don't like that are not for workers, and they have that right under federal law. I also wanted to let you know that this industry is an industry that is very rewarding, very lucrative. It is in the billions of dollars a year. You know, they make for the American economy here. So it's a huge, huge, huge industry in the United States. Private jails, that's a big industry. So, you know, saying that, in February, I went to the PBUS convention for bail agents in Las Vegas, and I had the opportunity to meet many, many bail agents and bail agency owners, like the royal blue blood of the bail industry. Families have been in this industry for generations, and sit down and actually discuss the bail industry and where it's going. And it was a wonderful experience. I'm glad that I went, and it gave me such an insight and such an inspiration to move forward instead of thinking negative about it. Some of the experiences that I have had in the past were very harmful and very hurtful, humiliating, degrading, and to say the least, they were illegal acts. But, you know, you move forward from there, you want to get experience in this industry, but there's not really anybody regulating bail agency owners and how their conduct is with their employees, if it's not reported. And I was told when I came into the bail industry to really just kick back, sit down, listen, do what we tell you to do. And that's right, because we have to learn. But no one signs up for the program to be discriminated or humiliated in front of their coworkers or in front of the employees from other places or in front of the defendants that come into their office. And I'm saying that about me, but it's happening everywhere. No one has the right to be sexually harassed, discriminated, or cast into a system where they're like an age discrimination or their disability. It's wrong. And really, if we're going to get past this and organize this ship again, a union is the only way that I see, one of the only ways that I believe that this can get organized, and it would offer health insurance, benefits for families. Like, for example, I was attending a meeting at a union here in Los Angeles at the AFL CIO, and they had flyers there for Dodger Night for families. And I think a lot of us have families, and we'd like to take our kids to Dodger Night. They have all kinds of benefits, and from purchasing new car program, union. And so basically, these are some of the benefits that our union would like to receive also. And we'd like to invite all those individuals who are working as licensed bail agents or associated with the bail industry to join us for meetings and talks to see how we can better improve the inner working sanctum of our bail companies. Now, when we come back right now, I'd like to discuss a little bit about my background and the reason why it's important for me that people be equally able to access the system, and why, for me, it's important that people have a voice to speak up, and in a legal platform that will change our history and change the course of bail and transform it into something great again. This is Carlos Antonio Montenegro. I will be right back.
Cause I'm a new judge.
Hi, good morning, America. My name is Carlos Antonio Montenegro. I'm a licensed bail agent in the state of California, and I live and work in the city of Los Angeles, and I'm also the chairman of the American Bail Agents Union. Good morning. Thank you for joining me here for this short show about the American Bail Agents Union and my story. Now, I wanted to let people know that America, home of the free and the brave, is a melting pot. It's an eclectic mix of various cultures, various thoughts, political thoughts, practices, religious beliefs. Anything that you can imagine is here in America, and we are all protected under the Constitution of the United States. In fact, bail has its own, the Eighth Amendment. But we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about why it's important to practice principles of federal and state laws in terms of respecting the people and anti-discrimination laws. Well, my name is Carlos Montenegro, and let me tell you a little bit about my background so you can understand where I'm coming from here. My family immigrated to the United States in about 1903 or 4, around that time. It's sort of we're not sure exactly, but it's about 1903 from the Cape Verde Islands. Cape Verde, or the Cabo Verde, they call it, is or also known as the Republic of Cabo Verde or Cape Verde, is an island country of 8 volcanic islands in the Central Atlantic Ocean. And it was referred to as, in ancient times, Islands of the Blessed, okay? Now, the islands cover a combined area of only 4,000 square meters. It was a country that was formed by the Portuguese, used as a place where they would stop in their, stop and refuel and get food, etc. right there. And it's not too far off the African coast. Also, it's about 600 miles. So it is a West African nation, and it is a country that not only is Portuguese, but we're Creole. So we're a mixture of indigenous African people as well as European people. So our culture is mixed, eclectic, and all of us. There's families that you'll find, blonde hair and blue eyed people, and you'll find people also very, very dark in complexion. And that is, in blonde hair, blue eyes, and too dark with blue eyes, or green eyes, or brown eyes, and in between. It's a wonderful place to visit if you ever get a chance to one day. My family ended up here in the United States because in our country, which was all volcanic islands, a couple of them blew up one day, just like that. And so the volcanoes killed most of the crops, devastated the jungles, et cetera, there. So it created a famine on the islands for many, many years. People were dying. We didn't have any medicine or anything like that. And so therefore, and plus we were being ruled over by the Portuguese crown. And they really didn't care about what happened to us. And as a result, in the early 1900s or the 1900, 1901, 1902, there was a mass exodus of individuals from the Cape Verde Islands, from these very, very small 4,000 square foot kilometers of all these little islands put together. That's a small area. To the United States. They mostly immigrated to New Bedford, Massachusetts. In my particular situation, my family was a little bit fortunate because my grandfather, my great-great-grandfather, already had his own whaling boat where they would, hunt whales and all these different things. And he brought my family on our own boat over to the United States, to New Bedford. And I believe the trip took about 3 months on the sea. So we left our country, we left everything behind, our families. But on the same day that we left our trip, there were two boats that left there, one owned by another family member. And we are very, very superstitious people. So it's just like the saying, if you're going to be going somewhere with your family, for example, you don't want with a lot of people in your family and you have to take a plane, you don't want everybody on the same plane in case something happens. You want to make sure that your family survives into the future. You don't want to think about negative, but sometimes there are things happen. So on that day, as those ships both departed, right before they got to the United States, they hit a storm. And the boat with my great grandmother was on made it. We ended up in New Bedford, Massachusetts, thank God, with my great grandfather, the boat. But the other boat, by his brother and our other family, it sank in the ocean, and 50% of my family were killed and drowned in the Atlantic Ocean. So I know what it's like about survival and about sacrifice. Many of the people here, mostly all of us, are immigrants here to the United States, and we all have our stories of challenges and obstacles and how we arrived here in the United States. Not one of us is greater or better than the other. We're all here, no matter if we're black, white, whether you're gay, straight, bisexual, transgender, whether you're a Jew, whether you're Scientologist, whether you're traditional African religion, whether you're whatever you are, okay? This is a melting pot here in the United States. And therefore, and we have rights and protections that our forefathers drafted up in the Constitution of the United States. We all arrived here with our past history of sadness, and we got here, and we all got here because we wanted to make a better life for ourselves, for our families, and for our future generations. So after many years of my family being there in Massachusetts, New Bedford, in the 40s, my family decided to move to California. So as they moved here to California, they came to California. They drove down historic Route 66. As they drove down Route 66, a funny thing happened on the way to California. They were met with discrimination and sad stories. As they drove down Route 66, they discovered the family, because we were eclectic colors and different color shades and everything about it, that not all of us were allowed to get out of the car to even go into the store or to a restaurant to get food or use the same restroom as the white people or anybody else. So as we drove across Route 66, all of us gathered in our cars. Only about two members of my family were able to get out and actually go into the local stores and even into get food for us because we were the wrong color. At that particular point in time, we didn't know really as discrimination as it existed in America because we were in part of a larger Portuguese or Cape Verdean Portuguese community, and we lived in that community and we lived comfortably. Coming out of that community, traveling across America, was an eye-opening awakening. So as we traveled to California, you know, I've heard all the stories about, you know, they couldn't even get out to use the restroom in a public restroom unless when they finally got into, I believe, areas where there were more African Americans, they were able to, you know, use the restroom in a regular place. So I know what it's like to be discriminated against. I know what it's like to be challenged by certain situations of our color, of our skin, and, you know, and my own personal struggles also here in the community here. So I'm telling you my story because I want to let people know that the union that I formed is not only for me, it's for you and for everybody else. And I hope that someday it will be a huge force for workers as we gather together to resolve this, which includes wage discrimination, age discrimination, sexual orientation discrimination, sexual harassment, and everything else that you can imagine. So when I joined the bail bond industry, I was already 49 years old. And it was sort of like a change in career, right? Stopped right in midway of my life. And I never thought that it was going to be so rough, but it was very interesting. I cannot tell you about anybody else outside of California. All I can tell you is that the people that I met from other bail agencies outside of California, they were so wonderful, inspirational, and it was just a very, very nice group of people at the PBUS convention. Beth Chapman, president of the PBUS, inspirational for everyone. Now, when we came back here to when I started working in California, at the bail bond industry, I thought it was through with discrimination because when I was in school growing up, I was the darkest person there at our school for a time, person of color, and we were the minority family there. And on those days and times, minority families were treated really, really still very bad because we were just coming out of like some of the civil rights kind of movement. But anyways, you know, you live and you learn and you put those struggles behind you and you move forward because there's nothing you can't accomplish if you put your mind to it. No matter what challenges or what obstacles that you were born into, you can overcome them and become everything that you want to be and exactly who you are. That's the beauty of freedom of choice and our mind that God gave us when we were born. So at any rate, when I started working at a few of these agencies, and it seems to be pretty general in different places that I've gone to, at one agency that didn't have any African Americans in their African American men, the joke was, you know, that I was the token black person of the office. Even though it seemed funny, it seemed funny, it wasn't funny. It was very harmful, hurtful, and to this day, it still bothers me because I'm more than that. And all of you that are working at bail bond companies are more than that. You're eclectic. You're an interesting people. The bail industry in California is one of the few industries where you don't really even need a high school education or a college degree that you could be making major money as a bail agent or as a bail agency. All you need is to be 18 in the state of California and have 2 years of residency here in California, regardless. It's the only place where you can get, you can be making over $100,000 or more a year without that college degree. So it is an important industry here. And if anything happens to the bail industry here, it would be devastating for those people that are involved that may not be able to go into other industries so fast, and their income would be greatly affected and challenged, let's just say, at that particular point in time. So as I had these negative experiences, and there's so much more that I could go into, but I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying these are my personal experiences that happened to me that have stuck in my head, and I thought to myself, I've been a community activist for 30 years in my community, and I cannot believe that in the year 2015, 2016, that discrimination was happening so blatantly in places. It was horrible. It was horrible. So that is one of the driving forces, my family background, things that I've gone through, my writing career, a reason why I formed that. And even though it was formed in 2016, we're just now finding our way and just now getting started. And I'd like to invite you to that. If you'd like more information about the American Bail Agents Union, you can email me at AmericanBailAgentUnion@gmail.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Carlos Montenegro. I'll be right back, and then we're going to talk about workers' rights and a little bit more about the union. Thank you. I'll be right back.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There were sand. Been through the desert on a horse with no name. desert, you can't remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carlos Antonio Montenegro. This show is being sponsored by the American Bail Agents Union, California Bail Reform 2018. Today's show topic is about the American Bail Agents Union and about my journey in the California bail industry working as a licensed bail agent. Anti-discrimination law refers to the law on the right of people to be treated equally. Some countries mandate that employment, in consumer transactions, and in political participation, people must be dealt with on an equal basis regardless of economic status, sex, age, race, ethnicity, nationality, disability, mental illness or ability, sexual orientation, gender, gender identity, gender expression, sex characteristics, religious creed, or individual political opinions. That is the beauty of America. So let's talk about some of the types of discrimination prohibited in law that is enforced by the EEOC. Some of these and all the laws that talk about it. We have age discrimination that exists, disability discrimination, equal pay compensation discrimination, genetic information discrimination, harassment discrimination, national origin discrimination, pregnancy discrimination, race and color discrimination, religion discrimination, retaliation discrimination, sex discrimination, sexual harassment discrimination. Now, there are so many incidents that I could go on and on and on and on and on about that I personally experienced where I was, we could say, a victim or even an innocent bystander that was witness to a situation that happened. Now, the union that I formed was to protect the constitutional rights and civil liberties of workers in the bail industry. But it also was formed to protect the constitutional rights and civil liberties of the defendants that we bail out of jail, that use our services, and from which we get paid from. And majority of it comes from minority communities. That's where our money comes from. We derive our money from minority communities. And if anybody says that's not true in California, let's just say, that's false. On last night's show, we gave statistics about arresting, the arrest record, the statistics between those of white people versus Latino people and black people. So I've seen it from both sides. One of the most shocking incidents that I witnessed and experienced, and this is what really put the coffin nail into the coffin here, and I thought to myself, this is really a sad situation. And I know that not all bail agencies are the same, but there's a lot of them that are running rampant out there that need to be changed. And discrimination is not going to go away. It's not. It might be hidden a little bit, or it might be practiced a little bit more, you know, behind the scenes. But some places it's just real blatant, and that's where it needs to stop. By having a union, come into your place, or members or individuals that are associated with the bail industry join a union, this will definitely put a halt to that, or at least curtail it in some way, shape, or form, where individuals who are owners or companies will definitely know that they have to abide by state and federal laws in terms of discrimination against people, not to do it. Okay. One day I was there in my office, and an individual that works for the bail industry came in, who is transgender, and they came in to do some business there. And what happened was, when they left, the owner of the company looked at everybody else and said, "Wow, what a genetic mistake that was. When this person's mother gave birth to them, they should have shot the mother in the head." I was shocked. I felt bad. I was offended. As a representative also of the GLBT community, I was floored. I couldn't believe that I was sitting there hearing this come out of these people's mouths and everybody laughing. That's not right. It wasn't right. So this is just one isolated incident at a, you know, agency that I was, you know, interacting with. But this is just one incident out of many things that have happened. Blackballing people from the industry. For example, I have a good friend that was a manager, African-American, who left an agency who cannot find a job anymore because her former agency is blackballing her, and which is a form of discrimination because they just didn't like her anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, that's unacceptable. When people leave a job to go to another job, just let them go. They have a right to make a living. They have a right to take care of their family, just as you do, owners of companies. You don't have the right to call any agency and tell them the 411 on anybody. That may or may not be true. At any rate, it's against the law to tell anybody anything other than the date they started and the date they left. That's it. That's federal law. By calling an agency and telling them, "Don't hire this person because of X, Y, and Z," that's unacceptable, and you can be and you will be held accountable for that. There's just no doubt about that. So these are some of the things that we're talking about, race and color discrimination. Already in the bail industry, African Americans like myself, we are definitely underrepresented, you know, in the bail industry. And even far less of people of GLBT background orientation. So the bail industry needs to be evened out. So as we approach this California bail reform in 2018, I want everybody to be mindful of that. I personally don't agree that the bail industry should be eliminated, but I think it needs to be transformed and it needs to be reorganized with stricter laws about agency rules and regulations in terms of standardization of policies that are not discriminatory, and about enacting policies that are of equality, fair access for equal pay, and a little bit more structured and more organized. Employees who are wrongfully terminated in California from their position in violation of an employment contract for any type of discrimination reason or for exercising their rights which means their employer may terminate their employment with or without notice. In California, it's a state we could terminate you without notice. But California has created a number of illegal situations where an employer may not terminate employment. Okay, and if you feel that you fall under this workplace discrimination, you can contact the EEOC. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be right back, and we're going to finish our show. Just give me a few minutes.
Well, I tried to make it Sunday, but I got so damn depressed. But I set my sights on Monday, and I got myself undressed. I ain't ready for the altar, but I do agree there's times when a woman sure can be a friend of mine. Will I keep on thinking about you?
Hi, my name is Carlos Antonio Montenegro, and I'm the token black person of the office. Well, I'm also, besides that, I'm much, much more. I'm the chairman of the American Bail Agents Union. I'm a licensed California bail agent. I'm the owner of my own bail bonds company, and I'm also the owner and founder of a nonprofit organization called Above Below Technology, helping individuals that are indigent with alternative forms of sentencing to be able to get out of jail, even if it's without bail, a GPS monitoring. I'm much, much more. I'm a writer. I'm an artist. I'm a son. I'm so much more than being the token black person at the front desk. And so are you. That is why today I decided to do this show. I wanted to let you know where I'm coming from and what my story is. It's not a story of anger or a story of just, outrage. It's a story of disappointment. it's a story of disappointment for those individuals that I held so high in high esteem that they disappointed not only me, but they disappointed everybody else around them. And if you're a bail agency owner and you feel that your office, the people working for you, do not have rights, you're wrong. We all have rights. And you have to abide by both state and federal laws, labor laws, to comply with our employment program. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a bail agent or involved with the bail industry and you would like to assist us in this historical time, in this movement right now in California, and assist us in helping us organize this American Bail Agents Union and structure this industry for equality, for workers' rights. If you'd love to have health insurance, dental insurance, and anything else, tickets to Disneyland for your kids, and all these different things that we can make happen, college funds for your children, help you get a car, you know, all of these things that would have to be worked on that all unions have. Now, right now, we're currently in review process with a national union. I'm not going to give you any details about it because that's not important right now. All you have to know is our union is in review process right now to become a part of, affiliated with a national union that will stand strong behind us and that will help us to overcome these obstacles and challenges that a few isolated incidents have caused great commotion. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Carlos Antonio Montenegro, and thank you for coming to my show, California Bail Reform in 2018, and I'll talk with you next Friday at 8 p.m. on our regular weekly show. Thank you, and have a great weekend.
Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road. Tell me, how long you gonna stay here, Joe? Some people say, this town don't look good in snow. You don't care, I know.